President Ron Smith to introduce our next speaker. And please make sure your cell phones are on silent or off. Thank you.
Invited guests, comrades all. Lisa began her career as a science instructor in undergraduate studies for various universities and colleges. She then entered into the role of education project coordinator for the Directorate of Military Family Services, where she worked as a member of the policy and programming team. With her extensive experience in education and health, and as a military spouse for more than 20 years, Lisa joined the Quality of Life team in April 2010 as a family health care project coordinator. Her time with the Quality of Life is spent providing support to the CF families with their specific focus on improving avenues of access to health care. Lisa is also going to be joined by Andre Steele, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Royal Ottawa Foundation for Mental Health. So please join me in welcoming Lisa and Andre.
Let's see how tall I am. I should have wore higher heels, probably. Good morning. I was told not to be boring. That goes for Andre as well. I think some people had a nap, Bert, yesterday. There will be no naps this morning. I am honored to be here, and Andre as well. So honored. After being a spouse for 21 years in this community, and my husband will get medically released next spring, I will become part of your community. And to be honest, the past couple of days, I already feel like I'm part of your community, and I'm sure Andre feels that. So thank you. Thank you very much. It's wonderful. I can't tell you the stories that have been shared already. I got to thank Lauren. I got to thank Deanna. Can we give a hand to Lauren and Deanna and everyone who's been involved? I know everybody's worked hard. So thank you to the executive, and thank you to you for just showing up today so bright and early. And I know it's been a good 3 days of socializing so far. Anyway. So you heard a little bit about me. I do work for Quality of Life, which has now become Quality of Life, Military Family Services, and Dependent Education Management, which has been around since 1947, DEM it's called. And they also take care of the schools in Europe. For military families.
Tap it, yeah. There we go.
I always wanted a microphone, so sorry. Bear with me this morning. So you take care of families in Canada as well for tutoring for school kids. So if you have any questions about any of those topics later on, feel free to approach me. I'd be more than glad to talk about it. I'm going to hand you over to Andre Steele. She's the CEO and President of the Royal Ottawa Mental Health Center in Ottawa. Andre?
Bonjour tout le monde, and don't worry, I'm not going to speak French the whole way, but je veux accueillir mes francophones parmi nous aujourd'hui et vous dire bon matin. Et aussi, je m'excuse, mais notre présentation va être faite en anglais aujourd'hui. Mais si vous avez des questions en français, ça me ferait grand plaisir de les répondre. So welcome and thank you so much. And this is a bit of a, I feel very, very warm about being here because I'm an Air Force brat. But my father passed away at the age of 41 of cancer. And it was at that time that my mother and I lost our military family. So when we talk about military family services, or services to those who, whether they've died in combat or died on service, or they've died from an illness completely unrelated, I have to say as a 13-year-old child, and I'll never forget this day as long as I live, sitting in the living room as the military 6 weeks after my father's death, death came to collect his things, and watching my mother take his patches off his uniforms, and how the three times that they say, "Mrs. Steele, are you sure you can't find his winter survival boots?" And we kept going into the basement to try and find them. It's a moment I'll never forget, and it's always to me such a, you know, it's funny how life comes full circle, and here I am in my role with the foundation, which is really supporting mental health care and research, and working with national partnerships like this wonderful partnership that we have here today, that brings you full circle to realize, you know, we have to do something about ensuring that families are not forgotten. And we need to ensure that families have support. And we need to ensure that those who serve in the military feel that they're getting the services that they need and deserve. So what we're about to talk to you today is all about that. And our objective today is quite simple. We really want to tell you a little bit about who we are, so we'll talk a little bit more about the services that each one of us provides and why we're here today, the need for partnership and why it works, and also we'll introduce you to the Minds the Matter tool, which is a web-based tool that you'll see in a few moments, so that you can see what it's all about. And then in the back of the room at the end of the session, there are some copies on CD if you would like to take them. Just to remind you, there's two piles. The pile in the front is in English. The pile in the back is in French. So if you want a little bit of Rosetta Stone and you want to try and learn how to speak French, grab the French one in the back. But we encourage you to take those as you leave. We'll talk to you about the successes, and then we're also going to open it up to questions and some feedback. And we were here yesterday and nobody was asking any questions, so we're really looking for some questions, just because that'll be the litmus test to make sure that we're not boring.
So I said before, part of DQOL represents the Military Family Resource Centers, or MFRCs. There's 32 across the country, 5 in the US, some overseas as well. One of the things that when Deanna invited us to come was wondering what we could do for each other. And I know the grassroots work that all of you have done so hard, the advocacy that you do, they're also doing at the Military Family Resource Centers across the country. There probably is one near you. It's on familyforce.ca, and we'll get to that later, just about where you can find them all. And if, you know, I encourage you to engage with them. We can learn so much from each other. I mean, veterans these days, the age range is 22 to 102. So I think we should be sharing information, coping skills, even just stories. Just hearing each other and having someone to go talk to can do a lot for a family member, for a serving member, or a retired member. Thank you. Move on to the next one.
So the Royal is an academic health sciences center, and we're specialists in the area of mental health care and research. We are home to an OSI clinic, but we are also the only OSI clinic in Canada that is located in a mental health center. And why that is so great is because our OSI patients and families have an opportunity to access our leading-edge research findings. They also have direct access to the more than 11 mental health programs that we offer at the Royal. While we're a regionally mandated mental health center, we are a nationally we are very national in our scope, we're very national in our vision, and that's why we welcome with open arms and look for partnerships with national organizations like this. Our vision for is for innovation in mental health. We know that, you know, and many of you may not know the statistic, but 33% of individuals who are affected by symptoms of mental illness will never ever reach out for help. And we know that in the military, that percentage is much higher because of shame and stigma. And what we try to do is we certainly try to eliminate stigma, and we've been very successful at the Royal and have been recognized both nationally and internationally for our anti-stigma programs. But what we're trying to focus on is web-based mental health. telemedicine, being able to bring mental health care and specialized services to individuals in the communities where they are instead of making them get in a car and drive for a couple of hours. And if they have to do that, chances are they might not do it. And brain imaging, because there are huge advances in brain imaging and the abilities to work with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and at the Royal, we want to be the leading brain imaging center in Canada, North America, and to be one of the top in the world.
So why do we need more web-based tools, or why do we need these tools for operational stress injuries, which can include PTSD, it can include anxiety, depression, and many other things? Most of us don't live on base anymore. We used to. I actually spent many years in PMQs, and has anybody spent any time in a PMQ across the country? Yeah, wasn't that fun? Yeah. It was. It was socially. when I could never get my cupboard doors closed because of the layers of paint from the 50s, I guess, and they would pop back open every time I closed them. Not so fun, but that's okay. So because we live off base, we're trying to connect. I think there's been a disconnect with some of the military community, with some of the veterans, reservists out there that are living in their own communities right across the country. Many of them are in Newfoundland, I can speak to that. But because they're living off base, we're trying to reconnect or give them a coping tool, a strategy tool, a tool in their toolbox, that if they're suffering through any kind of symptoms in their family or with a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a buddy, they can take a look at the Minds to Matter video series, which we'll show you today. The stigma exists. Can we all agree? Who disagrees with me that there's not a stigma anymore for mental health issues across this country? It still exists. And like CDS was saying yesterday, well, you know, he's a manly man and doesn't like to ask for directions. I hope he's changed recently with that. I'll ask his wife next time I see her, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, we need to be able to reach out. We need to think it's okay to reach out. And we need to support each other when we do it. A lot of this video series is for children and youth that are experiencing these things behind closed doors for the most part and don't understand it. And what do the youth do today? If you see a teenager, then you see one of these in their face, usually while they're walking and they're bumping into people or things or stepping into you, I'm not sure, walking on your dog. So having it web-based is one way to try and reach them. I think if, you know, we gave presentations to them, they'd sit and listen and be polite. I'm not quite sure what would sink in because they'd all be on their smartphones, their Androids and stuff like that. So it's another way to reach them and let them know it's okay as well if mom or dad is experiencing some symptoms. And it could be mild, CDS mentioned yesterday, it could be moderate or it could be a crisis situation. And the coping tools and strategies and stories that you see in the Minds to Matter cover all those.
And the ability to pool expertise, not just from the military, but also from the private sector or from the public sector and the hospital sector like ours, as an organization that runs an OSI clinic and an organization who does mental health research. And, you know, we're on top of the key findings and the best practices. Being able to marry those two together is tremendous. We're also joined today by Peter Egan. Peter, give a wave over there. Peter is the technology partner on the Minds the Matter, and it's his company that we've worked with for over 3 years in envisioning this great tool. And Peter's expertise and his company's expertise is about e-learning, because what we'll show you today not only has embedded clinical best practices, and it's not only clinically sound and evidence-based from a mental health perspective and from military experience perspective, but also from an e-learning, so that we're remembering what we're learning.
So the tool is bilingual. It covers both languages, of course. It's specifically for mental health support, and we're aiming at children, like I said, of military families, reservist families and their children, and extended family as well. So aunts, uncles, cousins, anyone that thinks this looks a bit familiar or is happening in their lives. Parents of military personnel are, I think, sometimes the underserved population that we're trying to reach out to. When, and I came from a totally green environment, I married a military guy. I had, and you know, they say, well, you knew what you were getting into when you did that. No, I did not know what I was getting into. When I first moved onto a base, it was a bit of a culture shock, I'll admit. I think it'll be culture shock leaving as well, so I'm hoping Anavets will help me make that transition next year. And it's about care for the caregivers. It is the parents, it is the spouses, the partners, the cousins, the kids that are trying to care for somebody on their own with mental health challenges, and that's really difficult. So it's for them as well. Is there anybody missing off my list? I think there's a bunch of you in the room that probably are missing off my list. I think it's for veterans, veterans advocates. I think it's for everybody to take a look. The average Canadian could learn a lot about our culture and our community by looking at these as well. It's evidence-based, as Andre had mentioned, and clinically sound. When we went into this as a partnership, we didn't want to miss that opportunity, and we wanted to really speak to what would really happen out there in the real world. Yes, there's actors in these videos, as you'll see. They're pretty good, but we wanted it based on real families, real veterans, real people experiencing these issues.
I think, Lisa, you can keep talking, okay. And this is going to be the comedic portion of the event as I try to get the film up on the screen. So if I mess it up, please be gentle on me.
So it's interactive, and we'll show you some of that as well. Andre's going to load that up. And the user can actually learn something from this as well and retain it, which is the exciting part for us. It's not just about looking at it and then forget about it. They can actually get some good skills from it. And yes, my name is Lisa Vaders, but my daughter is not Ella. That joke was mentioned, I think. I have a son. No daughters, thank God, but anyway. And I'd like to tell some Newfoundland jokes, but maybe we'll do that tonight when we're traveling. Yeah, or this afternoon. Okay. So the first, I've got some thumbnails up there. The first video, you'll see a narrator who's the guy in the picture. He's just going to introduce what an operational stress injury is, and it's a gentle way of somebody learning or finding out what it is. And we'll move right into the family, and it's Derek and Lori and Brian and Kelly, and they'll show you the good side, what it was like before he went on tour, and then you'll get to see a little piece of what happened when he came back. So I'll get Andre just to load that. If anyone has any sensitivities, this can trigger. I just want to let you guys be aware. If someone has to get up and leave, it's okay. Sometimes it's hard for certain individuals to watch, and sometimes it's not so hard. They actually see themselves or see a friend in it, and I just want to let you guys know that before we start.
There is one scene that does include some loud popping noises that could trigger if anybody would prefer not to hear that, you may want to leave the room.
It's low.
I told you, somebody unplugged the computer last night. It worked perfectly last night.
Yeah, too. I was a witness, so I remember seeing that, too. It was loud.
Winning. I'm winning. look like you can use it back.
No, I don't. Just leave me alone.
So everybody's awake, maybe, after that. Sorry, I didn't warn anybody about that one. But as you can see, Brian actually used to like a shoulder rub before he went away. And now he doesn't, obviously, like it. So that's just one example of how behaviors have changed and reactions. And you might want to be able to see how Lori's feeling as well about not really being able to communicate with her husband like she used to. So we'll go to the next one. This is the hockey scene. So anybody who's missing hockey, it might be okay, but like I said, it triggers some sensitivities. It's pretty loud. And we'll take a look at the son and the father.
There are times that I have to go as well as I am for operational stress here. Not everyone can go to the military experience of this, but for those who do, it can affect the whole family.
Hey Dad, wanna help me practice my stop shot?
What happened? I'm sorry, I'm gonna be
fine. Oh, come on, just for 2 minutes. I got a big game this weekend and I wanna make sure it's actually
not now, Derek. Don't make me repeat myself. But go out and practice by yourself. Go!
But
Derek's dad doesn't want to do the things he used to enjoy. What should Derek do? Should he take responsibility for his dad's behavior and try to figure out what he's done to cause it? Should he accept that his dad's behavior may be normal for a parent with an OSI and isn't related to anything he's done?
So we're going to have Derek take responsibility for his dad's behavior, which is what a lot of youth do, what a lot of kids do.
By the user making this choice, this is where the best practice of e-learning comes into place. You'll remember it because you chose it.
Hey, Dad. I just wanted to say I'm sorry if I pissed you off lately.
Huh?
Just tell me what I'm doing wrong because I don't want you to be mad at me.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Derek. You didn't do anything wrong.
There's gotta be something. You never want to play hockey with me.
Listen, I'm not in the mood to play hockey.
Well,
I'm not mad at you, Derek. If you keep going, I will be.
That didn't seem to solve Derek's problem. If a family member has an OSI, you can't blame yourself for the way they act. OSIs can make someone seem distracted, or even like they're avoiding you, but that's not your fault. Let's see what would have happened if Derek had tried a different approach.
Sure, Dad, no problem. I'll just get out there and start taking some shots. If you want to come out later, though, that'd be awesome. No pressure.
Okay, we'll see. Hey, remember to bend your knees and roll your wrists, okay?
By recognizing that his dad's withdrawn behavior isn't his fault, Derek avoids feeling guilty about practicing alone. Thank you. There was no way for Derek to know that the sound of his practice would cause his dad to have memories about his tour. Sometimes, the smallest things can make a parent from one side relive their past. Even though it may seem like they're blaming you, your actions aren't really the reason that they're angry.
So did anybody get some goosebumps watching that? I still get it. I was there when they filmed it in Toronto with Peter's crew, and I still feel it every time I see it. And I'm interested today, hopefully, when we get to the Q&A portion, I'll get some feedback from you guys on that. So the impact of this video storyboard series, is it helping? Is it helping people get strategies? Are people using it? Family members are actually accessing the tool already. It hasn't formally launched yet, as our partnership hasn't gone formal, which is going to happen, hope very soon. The Youth of Parents Experiencing Trauma, it's called YPET. There's a group in Edmonton working with the MFRC, the Military Family Resource Center there. They have been using this tool for quite a while with their youth, and Peter and I are going to Edmonton tomorrow to get some feedback from them on it. From my own experience with my families, my friends, because my military community is my family, they've given me feedback as well that even if it's not going on within their family, if they've seen a friend acting a bit different, or a spouse acting a bit different, or the kids, and there's been a tour or some sort of incident, it doesn't have to necessarily be a tour, it can be training, or it could be just coming across an accident on the highway, they go and send just the link to the web-based tool to them and just say, take a look, or suggest they take a look without really getting into the mental health support aspect of it. They're sharing it nationally and internationally as well. I asked our person that's in charge of familyforce.ca, which is the website, right from Newfoundland to BC to Northwest Territories. There's been hits already without it being formally launched to people, families looking at it. Down through the States, Southern Australia, Vienna, so we've hit Europe, Germany as well, and Washington, which is where CDS went last night to actually give a talk for mental health supports for military families as well. So we are reaching out, we are reaching families and members and parents and kids.
The completion of these exercises really do help people feel connected and they empowered to prevent. These are coping tools, and every one of the scripts of this have been reviewed and vetted and really guided by our psychiatrists at the Royal and many from our OSI clinics. The program's targeted to Canadian Forces families, but certainly is very accessible. Certainly anybody can access it and relates and is very relevant to other first responders, firefighters, RCMP, police forces, etc. And you know what this tool does is it really does acknowledge and remind people that an OSI is no different than a physical injury. It is an injury. And you heard from General Natishin yesterday Natinchuk. Sorry, I always get those two mixed up. I know exactly who they are, by the way. But it really is a reminder that you can come back broken in bone or broken in spirit and in mind. And the brain disorders and the emotional torment that it can cause, not just for yourself, but for your family, is unbelievable. So what are we doing next, Lisa?
So we're working on new videos, the next series Peter's S4 Potential group is working on, and it has to do with addictions, will be the next topic, and anger in children as well, in the youth. We're also, in those next few stories that we're working on right now, it's a reservist and his family that's coming into the story, which is new, which is good. I think we should be reaching out to every part of our community, and they're included. And I know you're advocating for military members, serving, released, retired, and reservists as well.
and the addiction and anger challenges. We know that addictions are often a self-medication issue to hide deeper challenges that individuals are facing. So how can you help? And I think, you know, we have a room of pretty darn dedicated people, which is unbelievable. It's been really inspiring to me in the last couple of days I've been here, is provide some feedback and ideas. Let us know what you think. Give us some thoughts. And again, Lisa's cards are on the table in the back next to those CDs. And be an advocate and a distribution partner. Help us get this tool into the hands of as many people as possible through your own websites, through local and national and regional events, anything you can do to help us. Invite us back to present on where we go from here.
That's our plug.
Yeah, that's right. We hear you're going to BC next year. That sounds great. Just joking. But certainly help us get this out. Get this broadly distributed, because as Lisa said, this has not yet been nationally announced yet. So it's you can find it, but only because we're going to tell you where the website is to find it. And even with that, people have found it already. We want to hear from you.
The discs are in the back. It is English and French. They're broken down into two. And so if you don't have access or good access to any websites, or you don't work a lot on the computer, it's a really good way of looking at this tool. It's not as interactive as it is online, but you can take it. You can take it for a friend. You can take it for someone that's not here today as well. I mean, just being here, I want to say a little piece before we go and get your feedback. But I mean, I talked to Neil when I first got here, and I thought, what's a coal miner given 22 years of his volunteer service to Anavitz for? It just blew me away that people are giving that much of their lives, their time, their energy to help this community and help Canadians in general. We're one big country, we're everywhere, just like Newfoundlanders. We are everywhere. Yeah. New Flanders in the house.
And you talk funny, too.
Yeah. She's bilingual, but I was thinking I would need to bring a translator, but I hope everybody understood me today. But yeah. Thank you, Bert. But I mean, after meeting Keith and Larry and so many more people in here, I just feel your passion and your caring, and we have that, too. And I think it'd be a really good partnership for the future if we work together. I know they were saying yesterday, the ombudsman said it too, about one voice. And I think that's an amazing idea and something we should all strive to reach. So thank you very much.
Lisa, I think there's an amazing movie being played tonight. I'm going to let you talk about it because I'm...
Deanna is showing Children of Soldiers tonight. Has anybody seen it?
Yeah.
Nobody's seen it? I've seen it actually at the Royal. I went and saw it last year, and all these experiences that you see with actors in our video series, this is real families, real people. And it was filmed in, I think, 2008 in Petawawa, and it covers many different families. There's a little guy there, Evan Mills, who's so eloquent in how he feels about being a military family member, being a kid in that culture, and his dad being on tour in Afghanistan. There's also the Cruz family who lost, Jill Cruz lost her husband in that year while they were filming. It's very compelling, inspirational, and the Perot family as well. It's just a great movie. It's not even an hour long, so it's 51 minutes, I think. So it'd be great if you could come and see it and really see what's going on in our modern day veterans right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're 3 minutes over time. I want to thank you very much. However, there is time for questions, and certainly if you have any questions or comments, we would invite you to the microphones to ask them. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I'm not leaving without a question. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Yeah.
In non-military world, I have had experience where there are training courses and they identify that people are told about T-5% in the wrong job. I sometimes have the anticipation in my mind that all these problems are created by being in the platform while I'm going off and risk and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Is there much of it that is a daily pressure of just being on the job, say in Brandon or where else in the world?
Yeah. I can certainly respond to that, and I'll respond using, I'll apologize for a bit of a gun analogy, but the CEO of our research institute gets a question often, what causes a mental illness or an OSI? Is it, you know, the job? Is it your physiology, and what is it? There are individuals who come back, as you know, and they're okay. What he says is that it's your genes that load the gun. It's the environment that pulls the trigger, and not everybody responds to the triggers. So mental health disorders and OSIs are brain disorders. They are injuries. They're brain injuries. And it's just, you know, I think it's, and sometimes it's hard for us to get our head around that, but it is an injury like a broken bone. It's just that some people are wired differently, and many people have a history of mental illness in their family. There have been people who have had depression their whole lives, anxiety, and those are the two key that you really see tied into OSIs in particular, and then of course nightmares and recurring. So that's why at the Royal with the OSI clinics right across the country, you see some amazing work going on, working with affected individuals to try and help them cope with the triggers, like the triggers like Derek's dad when he hears the ball hitting the, so being able to learn how to cope with those so that you can sort of, you never get over it, and nor do you want to get over it. Those were very important, and well, we want to, because they're horrible memories, but you want to be able to manage the effects. But in many cases, it takes more than psychotherapy. It also takes medication, and it can be a lifelong of treatment.
I just wanted to add the family piece to it. I have friends that have gone months without sleeping, and I have friends that actually spend a lot of time in their closet at home, and that's their coping mechanism. I have friends that have, due to the, I know you guys would have a different appreciation of signing an unlimited liability waiver. And I don't know if we need to get better educating our Canadian family about that. A lot of jobs don't require you to give or be willing to give your life. The stress that's on the family when someone goes overseas, the member is trained, ready, and willing and able, like CDS mentioned yesterday. My husband was one of those, still is, although where he's having medical issues now, he won't be going, thank God. But just even in training, things happen all the time. And things don't necessarily have to directly happen to you. A lot of the young guys now coming out of Afghanistan, in my experience over the past 3 years working with this organization, it's happened to their buddy. But it also stresses them. They're so close. They are brothers in arms, sisters in arms, and they do stand shoulder to shoulder. And they feel it even in their own homes. They have survivor guilt sometimes. So there's a lot of issues, and this is just one of the tools that they can have in their toolbox. So please feel free to take a disc. Is there any more questions? Yeah?
I commend you on the work that you're doing in this regard. But I would like to ask if I don't, this is for serving members who have these problems of the stress, problems that they come back. My question is, do you provide services for families and spouses, particularly spouses, who have trouble coping with the environment of their spouse?
Three weekends ago, is everyone familiar with the IPSC? And I know it's been thrown around, integrated personnel support units that are across the country now. Every ill and injured member gets posted there. They've changed it. Before, you had a choice, and my husband sort of didn't want to go there. And now he's been posted there since last September. Once he got posted there, services opened up to me, which was wonderful. So 2 or 3 weekends ago, the family liaison officer that works with the Military Family Resource Center and the Integrated Personnel Support Network, she invited me to go on a family support retreat that True Patriot Love actually donated money for us to go. 15 spouses from BC, they flew from BC to Ottawa, Moose Jaw, the Ottawa area, and all around. And I didn't get where exactly everybody was from, but whenever they shared that information, I sort of tapped into it, and me. And we got on a bus in Ottawa, and we drove to Gananoque, which is maybe an hour and a half drive tops. And 15 of us. And that first night, I mean, on the bus, I was like, oh, I've got this knocked. I've done this job. I know all the services. I'm doing good. And I met some of those women. There was one woman in particular from Petawawa who, for 4 years, has not been able to talk openly about what her husband's going through. That's because her husband will not admit there's a problem, there's an issue, there's a challenge. Because he doesn't want to address it, he doesn't like it when she talks about it. So she can't even talk about it with the one person. Yeah, she internalizes it. So she's been walking on eggshells, like Lori did in the video with Derek, for 4 years. And she stood up and told us her story without crying. She wasn't, you know, emotional, but she wanted just to say it out loud. And there's no judgment, no shame, no stigma in that room. And then, of course, we all started to open up. Saturday morning, we had a yoga session, which, you know, thought for our own health after breakfast. And I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I'm the biggest cynic. So we do that, and before I'm done, even the meditation part of it, I'm crying. And I didn't even know it was right at the surface sometimes, and it happens. Going on that retreat is like going and putting the burden down for a weekend. Leaving where we all lived and the troubles and the stress, those 2 days were like a piece of heaven for the 15 women that went. They are looking into doing something with Quality Life now, so that's a national, regional thing that other people can tap into. And we would open it up to all populations served, which includes the reservists and the family members and the veterans. That's what we're hoping to do. I mean, I know it's always down to funding, but I'm hoping they can see the quality of something like that and how it can work. Thank you for your question.
And I'm just going to add to that as well, through the OSI clinics, that there are support groups and for families and for spouses as well. And also, you know, let's not forget the parents of individuals who are serving, and they are dealing with a horrible, very difficult burden. But in the same breath, I'm going to say that each and every one of us continues to be the squeaky wheel that's going to push forward change. We have got to move the yardstick. It's not good enough. And I mean that not just from the military side, but from the civilian side as well. You know, when you think that 1 in 4 will be affected by a mental illness at some point in their lifetime, and when you look at in the military, the fact that the stresses and those triggers are, you know, they're constant. It's a rampant issue. It is one that is the most important in our society. Mental illness is the leading cause of disability claims worldwide. And we are second in terms of disease burden, but only next to malaria and diarrheal issues in other countries across the world. So in our books, that means this is number one. So if we all work towards ensuring that we are that squeaky wheel that says we need more services, we need more funding in all of our areas to get these services available for everybody, then only then will we be able to look to a future where people are getting the care that they need, and then they no longer have a speck of fear and a speck of shame to step forward and get help before it's too late.
I was just wondering, are you involved anyway with the Wounded Warriors Foundation? Or have you heard of it? Yeah.
I have heard of it. Soul Drawn is under Personnel Family Support Services, so that's what we deal with directly. I'm sure Soul Drawn is probably on the same working with Wounded Warriors. I'd have to check in with that, which I can do, but I have heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why I asked, about a month ago, one of our branches from our sister organization, the Legion, hosted 100 of them at Melfort, Saskatchewan. I was at the airport when they came in. There was 80 from Canada and 20 from our friends in the United States. They took them out on a weekend at a resort where they went fishing, golfing, and I was at the airport when they left. I met them when they went back. You see the difference in them. It's amazing. Just that weekend where they were together, could talk to each other, and it's amazing the difference in over that weekend.
Nipwin.
On the way back in, they stopped at a little town called Waka. It's 100 kilometers out of Saskatoon, where they took them in, give them coffee and donuts. The little small town is a town of about 300 people. When they left, there was 150 motorcycles escorted them into Saskatoon, the 100 kilometers.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I'll just close with a quick note to say that, peer support is so important. And again, it's a big, big thrust of the OSI clinics and the military support centers as well. And there are a number of military family members who go across the country talking about their own personal experiences. And that just opens the floodgates to give permission to people to speak openly about their own challenges. And for those of you who have ever been in that situation, to be able to talk about something like that, boy, is it a burden off of your shoulders and chest. It's just like a breath of fresh air to be able to let it go and talk to somebody about it. So if any of you are holding any of this in and have for years, I encourage you to find somebody to talk to, because stress is not good on the body. It does other things. Everything's connected. And also, it will give you a freedom that you will not believe.
One bad part is that if he does not recognize within the family itself, the family will not walk up to most likely any one of us and say, well, this is happening. We have the personnel of the Army Navy Air Force veteran, those personnel who are involved with this have to really cannot judge, but they have to really think, is this happening? And it's very hard for us to do that.
Yeah.
This look, although what we were showing was very young people, mm-hmm. it is also happening to very old people.
Absolutely.
And yesterday I met a gentleman who was asking me, what do you think about my dad? He's this and he's that, and he cannot do this and he cannot do that, and the family cannot even reach him. And so I passed it on to a friend of mine who lives close to that person, and I think he's going to help. But that also is happening also to old people, people retired, and
absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
It is happening to all ages, and the fishing trips are not about fishing. I know it's in the guise of fishing. My husband fell for it in the summer, actually, and went on a similar type event. And then they've got connections to people after the fishing trip. So when he runs into somebody in Ottawa now that went on that fishing trip, It's, hey buddy, how you doing? He's got another comrade in arms that understands where he's coming from. So thank you for sharing that as well.
She was lost. When she came back from a vision trip weekend, it was a different person altogether. Yeah.
Did everybody hear that? Okay. Good.
The whole it takes a village to cure, you know, that analogy is very true here as well. And it's not just one person or one system that's going to help. It's everything.
So thank you for having us today. I really appreciate your feedback. I'll still be around this evening. Andre goes out sometime in the afternoon, but we'll be here afterwards. The discs are in the back. My card is also in the back. You can email, phone, drop me a line, whatever you want. I'd love to hear from you. So thank you very much. I was very honored to be here today. Andre and I were very honored. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is this on? Okay. I want to thank the Lisa and Stella for their presentation. Very informative. And you, comrades, when you return to your units and cities, the best method of communication is word of mouth. Tell people about this program. I think it would help a lot. And I thank you again, Lisa. That was a wonderful presentation. And I have a little gift for you.
Thank you.
I'll get that.